Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this time where your people, Lord, gather together to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege of gathering here. We're not here, Father, Lord, by chance, but we are here because your blood compels us to come together, that we might sit under your feet and learn of you, Father. Especially in this hour of time when the world is in turmoil. Everywhere, Father, nations are distressed. People are running to and fro. And knowledge increases, Lord. So much so, Father, we see mankind are manipulating, Father, the genes of mankind. They come to a stage where them discovering, Father, things beyond what was in the last 10, 20 years ago. And we know, Lord, when man discovers certain things, there is always, Lord, the danger. They become to the stage where they become like God to manipulate creation, the things that thou have already set forth, the rules and regulations of life that you have put in this world of nature, Father, that men exist the way they should exist. But now, Lord, man is going to destroy their own kind, the way that things has been going. We see the world being polluted, the climate changes now, weather getting hotter and or even colder, and storms and floodings and whatever, Lord. Lord, we know this earth needs to be renewed. And according to our scripture, you will give it 1,000 years to bring it back when Christ comes to reign. And we are looking forward to that day, Lord. So, Father, while we have yet a little time left for us, we seek ourselves, Lord, to examine ourselves together. We seek to do that as we hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. As we come together, Lord, to learn of you, that we might move from glory to glory and come to the stage of perfection, Lord, in your plan and the purpose for this hour. So now, Father, we commit ourselves to you in the hearing of the word and the teaching of it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's message is a message I have preached 22 years ago. And I think that 22 years ago, so minus 22 years of your age. And how old were you? And after 11 years later, I preached the same message. And that's 11 years ago. And it has been 11 years now that I'm going to preach today. And many of us probably will forget it. But this is one of the messages that I love, because it's a question based on, when Jesus comes to earth, if there was no fall, will he come to earth if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Will he come to earth? The second question, of course, is related to the whole sum of it, is to ask you this question: why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in him? Alright, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 1 to 7. Lots of words, lots of verses to read. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 7. And I want you to pay close attention to it when I emphasize certain verses or certain clause or certain phrase. Underline it, meditate upon it. The sermon today is God's ultimate intention unto full stature, if I can use another word, or God's overview of things. So, Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 7. It reads here, Paul and an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now always remember something when you read it, read it very carefully. Paul and apostle of Jesus, by the will of God. See, to the same which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace be to you, peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. According as you have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, if you have a pencil or highlighter, whatever it is, underline the phrase in the first verse, by the will of God. Second verse, in Christ. And remember, these are things that the Paul emphasized, because you're going to see something when you look at the keywords in each of these verses of the passage here. Verse 4, according has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now in the King James, it's not a good word, probably translated right, before Him in love, which actually should be, the actual meaning that before Him is to read as in His immediate presence. Alright? According as He chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in His immediate presence. Which is a better word. Alright? Immediately. In love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You can see now, with all this that I've given you, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure, according to His will, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Right? According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. First of all, in verse 5, we read, according to the good pleasure of His will. But verse 9 says that, I'm jumping too fast, alright? From verse 5 to verse 9. But let's go to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which have purpose in Himself. So verse 5, the end of it says, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9 says, at the end of it, which have purpose in Himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Right. In one, all things in Christ. Again, and the emphasis. Which, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and even in Him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Remember? After the counsel of His own will. His own good pleasure and things like that. Alright. Why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a good question. Well, most of us say, I believe in Joseph because I want to go to heaven. I mean, we were told that we all are sins and come short of the glory of God. So I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So I believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't it so? So if I ask you that, why do you believe in Jesus? Isn't it that what you would be thinking? I want to go to heaven. I know I'm a sinner. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. That is actually what we all call escapism. We want to escape out of something which we don't want to be a part of. Huh? Or if, for example, there is a riot in the city, and you want to run away from it because you don't want to be caught up in the riot. So there is to escape from it. So we all know that all have sinned and come short of glory of God. So we believe in Jesus because we want to escape from hellfire. But the main question is that, would Jesus Christ come to earth If the fall did not take place, if the fall did not take place, and all mankind are in sin, will he come to earth? If you just sit and think for a while, I preached this while I was in Butuan, but I didn't preach it clearly because time was running fast because a lot of things were said. But if we sit and think for a while, would Jesus Christ come to earth if the fall did not take place and mankind are all in sin? Mankind have no there's no fall, there's no sin. Would he come to earth? Think for a while, just think for a while. Good question, isn't it? Alright, let's go to the book of Psalms. Now that's what we have. We have New Testament. Now go to the Old Testament. I want you, because sometimes it's good, because there is always a purpose of why God did what he do. To do what he did. So this is the thing that we need to know. And I don't know about you, when I study scripture, I ask questions. Why is this so? Could I be another way? And things like that. As the Bible said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, there shall be white as snow. And when you think about it, well, that's not possible. If my sin is all bloody and all that thing, how can it be white as snow? You see? If I'm black, I'm black. If I'm white, I'm white. So how could it be possible from my sin be as scarlet and bloody red and sinful standing before the Lord, and yet the Lord says you can be white as snow? How? You see, and the Lord will tell you how it can be. So we come to the same question now. If sin did not come, if the fall did not take place, and mankind, all live without sin, would Jesus come? And I want you to look from not your own point of view, but look it from God's point of view. The tendency is that when we read the Bible, of course, was written from the earth point, is that when you talk about the sun, the moon moving up there, it's of course from the earth looking up. But I want you to know, when you look at the Bible and read from the Bible, look it from God's point of view, looking down. Now, here we are on this earth. We are all short-sighted. When I say short-sighted, I don't mean physically. We can't see in the future. Even for the present, it's all that we see. The past is already gone. And many people don't learn from the past mistake. But because we're earthly. But if we are heavenly, look from God's point of view, that he could see into the future, and he can look back and look in the future as well. See from that point of view. Alright, now go to the Old Testament. Psalms 104:24. O Lord, how manifold are thy words. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And one thing about the Bible, number one thing, the Bible composed 66 books. And out of the 66 books, all of that, you can read not only history, and there's also archaeology in there, there's psychology, psychiatry over there, financials, anything you want to learn about anything. The Bible actually covers everything. I tell you, people ask me, sir, you talk about, the Bible teach about financial investment? Oh yeah, it does. Only that you don't see it. Many people do it and you don't recognize it. The Bible talks about health. You don't have to go and see a physician or doctor, if you know how to look in the Bible, take care of your health. It's there. All that which mankind need is actually in the Bible. It's something we don't realize about it. And there is one book that devoted itself to marriage life. Greatly, actually. Between a man and a woman, the love that they should respond to each other, and that's the Song of Solomon. You want wisdom? Ecclesiastes as well. You find that beside the Song of Solomon's book. And you can go over to the book of Job. You want song? You find it in the book of Psalms. And here we are in the Old Testament. It says in Psalms 104:24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom. Now this is a poised kind of a speech, a kind of a writing. And that's personification. Figure of speech and things like that. So here, in wisdom, the word wisdom here is personified. It's a personification of God's wisdom in word of what He wanted to reveal. Read a few more verses. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Yeah, the problem is that, you know, that's true here, huh? Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, wisdom is personified. Wisdom here is personified as God's wisdom. And what is God's wisdom? God's wisdom is that He comes up with Himself and He wants to bring things forth. And all that He, you know, comes up from the very beginning, before anything started, He comes up with Himself. And when He brings it forth, His wisdom was to bring it out in such a way that everything makes sense. And He said, yeah, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. There are people who say they are wise. Well, to say that you are wise is one thing. But look at what He says here. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting of wisdom, get understanding. A lot of people say I'm wise, but they are not really wise because they don't have understanding how to look at things. They may be wise, but they don't have understanding. People get wisdom through a period of time. I mean, child grew up, they learn, go to school, nursery, kindergarten, primary school, secondary school, high school, university, they learn. Right? In each step of the way they learn, they're getting wise. And in wisdom, by getting wisdom, you are getting how to apply in your understanding of what you know. And I don't know where you see the paper, see yesterday or 2 days ago. You see how a rich man, a Chinese national, I believe, sent a daughter to Yale University and paid $6.5 million just to have her enter into the university. But what is going on? $6.5 million you pay someone to get her into Yale University. What do you want? That is not wisdom. That is stupidity. There's no understanding. Why? You want to let your daughter go to university to get a paper to say that she is a PhD or whatever, a professor of this and that? What value is that when $6.5 million is a whole lot of money? And she could be content of going to an ordinary school. People are strange. They have money, but they have no wisdom. And yet with wisdom, they say they have, but then it's no understanding that you're going to get into trouble. Proverbs 8:23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. See now, the first three verses we read earlier, in wisdom, as done me all here, wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom. Now, I was set up from the beginning, or ever the earth was. I, who is speaking? Wisdom is speaking. It's a personification, remember? Wisdom is to personify something, somebody. A being, whatever, I was set up from everlasting. Proverbs 8:30 now. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I was by him. I was set up from the beginning. Who is I? I is wisdom. Wisdom is personified as the Christ. Now when we say the Christ or Christ, don't always think it as a person.
Okay, the word Christ means Christo, means the anointing.
And the anointing is something that flows up from God. But the anointing is the very thought and the very essence of God. When it comes forth, it comes from in some revelation form. Form as a physical form, as a being, as a word. So I was by him as one brought up with him. I, now this is wisdom talking now. And that is the anointing. Now, when we go back to Ephesians where it says that God counseled with himself, right? You all remember chapter 1 verse 11, right? God counseled with himself after the counsel of his own will. Now, if we were to share this with the Trinitarian, ask them to explain this. Oh, this is something, this is how it might go. Might be their reasoning, how they will interpret. Oh, you know, there's one God, but there are three persons. There are three persons. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. And they sat down together one day and they said, okay, we let us counsel with ourselves. But the Bible did not say we counsel with ourselves. The Bible said he counseled with himself. So if you tell them that, oh, they might change their interpretation. Oh, okay, yeah, that's true, that's true. God counseled with himself, that's the Father counseled with himself. Not the Son, not the Holy Spirit. Got it? So God the Father counseled with himself and said, okay, we're going to create the whole universe, then we're going to create man. You know? And the Son said, you know, the second person of Godhead, the Son. So yeah, that's wonderful. But what happened after the creation of mankind fall? You know? Well, we have to do something. But the Father said, you know what? I'm the Father. I plan. But you are the Son. You be the spokesman. You create. Okay? And you are the Holy Spirit. So since you are the Holy Spirit, you move. So, I am the one who planned and counsel what to create. And you, the Son, will speak the word and say, let it be light. The Holy Spirit will move and create light. Okay? Now, that's how it might be, how things go about. Okay, then, we'll create man. And then the Son said, what happened in man form? Well, then, well, I'm so sorry. Since you are the Creator, you create them. If they fall, you have to redeem them. The Son said, why me? Why me? You know what I mean? But you are the Creator. You are the spokesman. You see? I'm the planner. You are the Creator. You speak the word. You create them. If they fall, you have to go and die for them, redeem them. After you redeem them, the Holy Spirit will work in their lives and restore all things back. But that's the way perhaps the Trinitarian would try to explain things like that. But we know that there is but one God. And God is not a man. God is spirit. That's why the Bible says after the counsel of his own will, there is not their will. Just one being. Before ever there was anything, that he was this almighty spirit all by himself. And as I said this many times, people always look and say, wow, where did God come from? I tell you, I always tell them, say, you wait until you come, stand before God and you ask him. Huh? If I don't see God, I don't believe. But let me tell you something, because I am, he must be. If I exist, I must come from someone, something. I don't exist by myself. So there must be a creator who made me. Like there is a creator or one who makes the watch. The watch don't appear by itself. I know your chair that you sit on, the table or the computer. Somebody created, somebody with a mind, intelligent to create computer. There is a bang so big, he created. And yet so small, he could live in your heart. Amen. You see? And, well now, this almighty one counsel with himself. You know, God has a mind. He doesn't have a brain. Okay? Because God is not human. And people said the intellect comes from your mind, your brain. The intellect don't come from your brain. The intellect comes from your mind, but where is your mind? My mind is in the spirit. That's why the spirit has the mind, has the intellect, has a passion. Isn't it true? And even the mind, the spirit, that is within the law of the mind. Had even have a little well, a little, what do you call, humorous character. You believe that God is humorous? God is not always serious, you know. Sometimes He's funny. I look at a creature in the world, sometimes I laugh. You look at some of the creatures that God created, you just want to laugh. You know. And He created fierce, a lion, He created funny creature like kangaroo. You ever see how kangaroo hop in his hand, always on a box, and it kind of behaves funny. And then you have the platypus. The son, you don't even know whether it's a reptile or a mammal, and what a funny creature, it lays eggs. Think about it. You see. And things that are wisdom just to baffle people, just make people think that they are smart. But they are not. So when God comes up in Himself, there is always the thing. There must be a thing. He wants to do, He plans to do something, there must be a thing. There must be a reason why He wants to do it. And it must be centered on something. Now you know all this architecture. Look at our Changi Jewel. Huh? If you have been there, you'll see. It's so beautifully designed. And there must be a standard team, there must be something there, so that people will come to that place. If you just create a haphazardly, and no team, nothing, no center team, it serves no purpose. You see? So, God has, when He wanted to create, when He comes up in them, there is a point, a seed. Now, I always say this, the seed. As Bob Graham would call it, the seed word. It takes only one seed word to bring forth life. And that's what we call this wisdom, this logos, this very central thing we call Christ. The anointing that God is going to bring out. But the anointing that God is going to bring out is going to come from in a form that becomes visible. And that's why wisdom said, I was by Him. As one brought up with Him, I was His daily delight. So the Almighty God had this wisdom. He comes up with Himself to whatever He wanted to do, plan. And this was His daily delight. He was with God. Were embracing. And wisdom was embraced by God. I was by Him every day. I was His daily delight. From the day that I was formed. From the day that I was in His mind, His thought. That's wisdom. And whole wisdom from this whole universe. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom have built her house. She have hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom have built her house. Well, up to today we can say, yeah, wisdom have built a house. Because after all, that's what we are. Wisdom have built a house. Do you know the Bible said, God considered those things that were not as though they were? You know what I'm saying? Redemption is over. It's finished. God considered those things that were not has already happened. Because whatever He had predestinated, it is considered done. You know what I'm saying? In those days, you know, you don't need to sign a contract on a piece of paper. In those days, you say, promise. I promise. Your word is as good as what is written. But today, why we have what is contract? Because there are a lot of people who are not honest. When God said it, He meant it. And so when you take a vow before the Lord, you take a vow as a Christian, you mean what you say. Because you are supposed to be a part of His word. You're the part of God, and yet when you say, yeah, I promise, but you never keep your promise, that's a terrible thing that you do. It's a sin. Okay, now, let me just draw it so that you have an understanding. Here what we have is Adam. Alright, God created Adam. Well, the word Adam means mankind, of course, God, that's you, me, but of course, the first man is called Adam. And we know that God created him, and he was told to be fruitful and multiply. Right. So he was told to be fruitful and multiply. That's the plane he's supposed to go. But before he could multiply, something happened. Sin came. So Adam fell. Right. So have an understanding of this. Then, well, Jesus had to come to restore man to himself. So Christ came with the cross. So man then was lifted up. After all, fall in the sin, Christ came to lift him up. Let me say this right now. Adam was created untried. He was not tested. He was not developed morally. Right? A child is born into the world. As a baby, you feed him, you cry, he knows that whenever he's hungry, he just cry, and mama will know that he's hungry, and he fed him with a bottle of milk, and he's satisfied, and he goes to sleep. And he did this every day, and going to continue until perhaps a year. Then you have a relationship with the child. You talk to him, he's trying to know your voice, and then as you go to 1 year onwards, he's doing his own thing. Because he doesn't know a lot of things. He doesn't know what is hot, what is fire. You know what I'm saying? I remember when John and Joey was young, we had to bring them close to the stove and stretch out the hand towards the stove to feel the heat. So they realize that this is something hot. Otherwise, the child doesn't know. Go to the stove, perhaps trying to get something and touch the hot stove and get burned. So, Adam was morally not tried and, undeveloped, so to say, in the moral nature. Yeah, he knows what is right, what is wrong, but he had never been tested yet. So, if Adam was not tested, and life just go on, is one thing. But we know that sin came, the serpent came into the garden and deceived both of them. And so Adam fell. And so Christ came to restore man back. So that mankind will be able to go on this plane. Now, we are not a gospel story. We know that because mankind fell in sin, and the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and there is no way that we can ever be restored back to God without a Savior. So this is the gospel story that we know so well. So now, when knowing the gospel story, Christ came and he restored, he redeemed us. And we are now in this same path as if Adam had not sinned. We're in the same path. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is justification? Just as if you have no sin. That's what justification means. I was once in sin, but the Savior restored me and lifted me up from my sinful nature and put me in the same position as Adam was as before the fall, as if there was no sin. You get on me. Now only that we don't see. Now, you're a Christian, you have no sin. Yes, you're the Holy Spirit, yes. As you go about in the world today, in your work, your school, your career, whatever you're doing, the world look at you, well, you don't do any different. Being that you are a Christian, you say you have eternal life, that you are not a sinful nature, you are a saint. Oh, they will tell you, you are no different from me. Is it not so? Huh. So now, we think about this. If we go back, if Adam had not sinned, all the children came forth into the world, they are all sinless. Right? And all sins. And what? 100,000 people, 1,000,000 people, all sinless on this earth. Will Christ come back to her? Will Christ still come to her? Nobody is. Nobody fall. Nobody sin. So will Christ come to earth? I'm emphasizing this point because I want you to know what is the purpose of God. When He created you and me, with or without a fall, will Christ come to earth? Even if there was no fall. Because there must be a purpose of God creating you. Right? Most of the time we look at the gospel, we only see this portion. You agree with that? This is the portion that we always see. I'm so glad Jesus saved me. I'm so glad. Once I was a sinner, now He saved me. I'm so glad. And we praise the Lord for that, that we are going to heaven. We are here, come to church. But what is the purpose of it? I'm just putting it to intrigue you. What is the purpose of you being saved? Because thinking, what is the purpose of God saving you? Alright. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. I want you to see a bigger picture. Not just little area where the cross is. I want you to see a bigger picture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the, not just the purpose, but the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Got it? There's an eternal purpose, huh? Which is what He purposed, which God purposed in Christ. Which is wisdom. He already purposed in the wisdom, the wisdom that was before Him. Ever before the world was, ever before anything started. That's why the very first thing is that when we look at God, if you just think about the mighty spirit, when He comes up in Himself, that's that center thing, that seed wood, that wisdom, that logos, that Christ. That was the purpose of what He intended to do to you and me in that one person called Jesus Christ, who was manifest to us. Because He was the wisdom of God. He was the anointing that flowed from God. He was that seed word that was manifest. When we look at the gospel, we're looking at it as man related. We related to ourselves. We just think about ourselves. I want to be saved. But we are not looking at the point of being related to God has God's very purpose and plan. Right? Think about it. Okay, let's go back a little bit now to the day that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you just go about doing your work, your sinful life, you no care. Right? You no care. Oh yeah, you might be religious, go to Novena and do the sign of the cross and say a Hail Mary full of grace. Right? Or maybe you're a pagan, worshipping some idols of some festive season come, you offer your chicken and you offer your oranges. And that's about what you do. Then you read, oh, that you are a sinner, and there's no other God than Yahweh, the God of the Bible. And they found that you are a sinner and now you want to be saved, and then you're okay. Say, Lord, I want to be saved. So we only relate to ourselves. It is about us, about me. And now, what do you think about it seriously? Is it not true? Is it not, you being a Christian is about you? Come on. 99% of all Christians are like that. I'm a Christian, it's about me. I'm a Christian, you know. You got it? I'm saved. I
I'm saved, saved. That's all the songs about all these things.
But there are very few songs that is set about Christ Jesus and His purpose. Now, we ask questions like this. For example, we have the 12 apostles. Here we have Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ Jesus, right? Is he in heaven now? Is he saved? Do you know there have been debate about this? And there are some people that believe that Judas Iscariot is going to heaven. There are people like that. The majority say, no, he's in hell. I mean, those for those people who believe the hell exists now, that he's already there in the fire burning. Or then we can ask another question about Lot's wife. The angel came and took them out. When the Sodom and Gomorrah told them that God is going to judge this whole city, and he's going to get out and run as far away as you can. Run. So they ran out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angel told them, don't look back. Don't look back. He didn't tell them, don't look back or else become a pillar of salt. He didn't tell them. They just said, don't look back. So they ran. The daughters, Lot and his wife, they left everything. They ran as far as they. Then of course, as they ran, the ground began to rumble. Right? Of course, there's all coming. There's, the ground began to rumble. As they continue running, then there's a big explosion. Well, you know, curiosity kills the cat, as you all know. Lot's wife. Wow. You know, curiosity, many times we want to know. I mean, especially some of those who are driving on the road. Huh? I mean, especially when you are a driver of a car, please don't slow down the car to look at an accident. And that happened once in Bangkok several years ago. They held up all the traffic until one man was so fed up because he was held back because when he approached the accident site, he saw people are just driver looking at the accident. He took his gun and shot one of them. Just man, he got so mad, he shot one of them. It was in a paper report. You see? And we all here, you just want to see what happened, right? You have to throw to look. Driver, please don't look. Whoever you are when you're driving. The passenger can look, but you don't look. Just drive. But Lot turn and look. And you know, this is where she got petrified. She got petrified literally and physically in one sense. She turned and looked. Oh my goodness. I mean, her heart is still there, you know. This is a shock. She had good society. She, you know, makes me prominent people and play mahjong every night perhaps. And she loved that. And she said, wow. And in that instant, so shocked that she couldn't move. Then all the brimstone of swords and ashes that flew up in the air came down. There's a whole lot of it. They encrusted her into a pillar of salt. Huh? And if you go to Dead Sea, Sodom and Gomorrah area, you can see some of those stumps of trees that are covered by salt. You can see them peeled. Now, you don't know what shocking is like. Let me tell you the incident that I had. When I was young at the time working in the mental hospital in Woodbridge in Yio Chu Kang. And it happened to be the eve of the Chinese New Year Eve. I was on my way home after the morning shift. After 2 o'clock. I was on my motorcycle. Going along Lorong Chuan. And towards Thompson. You know, I was ready. And I could see in front of me an elderly man on a bicycle cycling in front of me. And he had on his handlebar a bottle, I don't know what bottle that is, beer or whatever. And he was cycling. And I was behind him. He was far away, I could see him. And as I approached him, he suddenly fell off his bike. His bike wobbled, I don't know how he wobbled, and he fell. Now, when he fell on the road, I mean, just imagine that if you're cycling like 20 kilometers or 50 kilometers an hour, and you fell, and it's a gravel road. And his head, he fell, he landed. You know how you land, you always stretch your hand. My motorcycle passed him, and I stopped to help him. But the moment I stopped my bike, I turned around and walked back, I froze. I was actually in a state of shock. And I couldn't move. Actually, I really could not move. You know why? It's because the imagery that I had. When he fell, you know, when you ever fell on the road and you scrape the whole hand, the whole skin scrape off. What do you see in the first thing? It's white. Then the blood comes, right? Have you ever seen that? That image came to mind, and I literally froze. I couldn't move forward another step. By then, of course, several cars stopped to help him. Oh, and I was perspiring right there. And that's what we mean by shocked. It's so instant that you really couldn't move. I mean, I went to hospital, I've seen all kinds of accidents and all sorts of things. That imagery is all right there and there. But this image of him falling and scraping his arm, you know, with that thing, oh, it just shocked me. And that's what I believe. That's why. Stood and see the sight like that. That moment of just for several seconds, petrified, they couldn't move. And all the salt lying on him, on her. So we ask ourselves the question, is she saved? She was after all lost one. Oh, what about Esau? I mean, he was the son of Isaac. Right? Twin brother or brother to Jacob. He saw his birthright. Yes, I know. He saw your birthright, your inheritance. Is he so safe? You see, the question about salvation is this. We are always related to ourselves or to somebody. Is he safe? You see, am I safe? I'm safe. I'm so glad I'm. Well, that's what we call escapism. The same thing with the rich young ruler. He kept all the commandment of God, and Jesus said, "So all you have, follow me." Oh, that he couldn't do. But is he saved? No, I ask the question. Is he saved? Psalms 19, 1 to 6.
Psalms 19, 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. His rising is from one end of heaven, and his circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from his seat.
All right. Okay, now, here is this Psalms 19. The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Verse 4, the last part says, in them have he set a tabernacle for the sun. Well, remember this, here Bible always shows some picture for us to understand. The whole heaven, God set a tabernacle for the sun. You know what tabernacle is? A dwelling place. So let's have this room here. It's the universe. And it's in this universe that God had made it like a tabernacle for the sun. Now you understand something? The sun do not move around the earth. Only the flat earther believe that. Okay? You know the flat earther believe that. Okay? And now that's the strangest thing I ever come across. Every universe, every planet in this solar system of ours is a ball. But the earth is flat, like a disc. Very strange. Okay, and many of them persistently believe in that. Okay, the mentality doesn't. I mean, if you really look at the distance and all that they show, you find that it doesn't work. Alright. know that the whole universe is a tabernacle, like a tent, where the sun is. And all the planets revolve around the sun, right? Correct? Yes. So now, the sun represents the Son of God. And so we have this picture here to show us, because in the tabernacle of Moses, where you had the Shekinah glory, remember? All activities around the around in Israel is centered around that tabernacle, because the Shekinah glory is in there. So the Son of God, Christ Jesus, or the Son represented, everything revolves around Him. Christ do not revolve around you. You and me, we revolve around Him. Everything moves around Him, because He is. He is the wisdom that brought forth all this. So the whole thing is centered upon Jesus Christ. It's not upon you, not upon me. Even as this passage said here, verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, rejoice as a strong man to run the race. And Christ actually run the race for you. Okay? And he's going forth, he's from the end of the heaven, the circuit or the end of it, it means it's from everlasting to everlasting, wherever you go, you will not miss him. The whole heaven declare him. And even as it said over in verse 2, there's unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their light has gone forth through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth, to the world. You see, what happened is that this whole universe was already established by the line of God's word. The word line means a cord, a measurement, you know. Okay, an utterance. And the whole universe was formed by the line of God's word. God said, let there be light, like him. Let there be this came. All established by thine. But the speech means something that is uttered, whatever is declared. The whole universe was formed because of that sun. It was made as a tabernacle for that sun. That's why we read all in the book of Proverbs, I was daily his delight. I was brought up. I was by him. Right. Now, when we are saved, the other thing is this. Remember this. It's by grace. Nothing. There's nothing good in you. And don't try to do God a service. Don't try to act yourself as good to do something for God and try to seek His favor. No, don't do that. Some people say, Lord, you know, I did this for you, I did that for you. What is that? You love Him because you do it. But don't say you do it because you try to gain favor from Him by doing it. You can't gain favor from God by doing this. How do you gain the favor of God? Walk in His word. You see, I'm a preacher for so many years now. 40 years and more. Oh, can I tell God, Lord, you know, I've traveled the world, I've preached the word. What is that? I preached because He called me to. And I'm just following His leading, His spirit. See? Now, one a friend of mine, you know, it's so sad, he always wanted to do something big for God. I said, if you cannot do small things for God, you want to do big things for God. You know something, when God teaches a person, He teaches a person from young up. Some, like a law, there's a whole lot of mess in the end time message. Why? It's because there are many men, believers, because they read the Bible and spoke for a little. Why here and there? They say, oh, now, I know. And they want to be preacher. And they bring a lot of confusion in a message. And it is still ongoing. That's why a lot of... I fear for people who do not want to learn. And if they learn, they secretly harbor some kind of revelation, but they won't share it. You know what the Bible said about revelation? What Paul said? If you have a song, you sing it. If you have a testimony, you give it. If you have a revelation, you share it. Now, if you say that God has given you a revelation, but you're not ashamed, it means it's a secret revelation. And if it's a secret revelation and you don't share it, means something is wrong with it. Because you fear to share because you fear that people prove you wrong. That's what happened. Huh? That's why over the years, there are those who do that. And when I say, come on, let's discuss. And they finally bring it out. Like one brother. But again, you don't believe that there are serpent seed in the world. I said, what do you mean by serpent seed? That there are literal serpent seed people walking on the earth today. I asked them how to prove it. Oh, the prophet said so. Did the prophet really say so? So it from the scripture. And that's why they couldn't. And they harbor it to be true. And they spread it. Just the same thing with the 12 apostles. How many foundations are there in the holy city? How many? How many foundations? Come on. The holy city in New Jersey, how many foundations are there? 12. 12 get 12 foundations. But there are those that believe that there is a 13th foundation. And that 13th foundation is Paul. What did the Bible say that there is a 13th foundation? Oh, from again! It's inside the holy city! What do you mean by inside the holy city? How do you get inside the holy city? What is a foundation? Foundation are the walls. Wall that are strengthened at the side and the corner. And the center of the foundation, the base, has already been laid, and there was Christ. Representing that by the place where you are standing. But Christ himself was the first stone to be laid at the corner. Right? And he's no more in that corner. Why? Because he's lifted up to become the head of the corner. The apex stone. And only the pyramid has an apex stone. That's why the shape of the church is an apex stone, because it's an escalon of Christ, of God's government. There's only one head. Then it comes down. The government. You know how the government works in the country? The same. But people do not want it. There's a 30 foundation. Why? Inside. What do you mean by inside? Alright, remember then that the earth revolves around the sun. Every planet, everything revolves around the sun in this universe that we can see with our eyes here. Of course, the universe is very big. There are solar systems in clusters and clusters of what do you call that? Solar system. You know, galaxy and things that are moving around. We are just only one. As far as God is concerned, this is the place where God has put us to see. Out there beyond our solar system is, you cannot look into it. You can't see beyond that. You can only see with your telescope. Huh? So man finally have discovered the black hole and take a picture of it. What does it show? A black hole. Alright. And of course, when we become a Christian, we always have problems and we always ask questions, Lord, why this, why that? The attitude of some Christian, I go to church when I like it, when I don't like it, I don't go. If I go to church, I like the church, I stay, but don't like church, I just walk out. What? Are we a part and a parcel of the Word of God? That the song we sing, I'm a part of His Word. So if we are part of His Word, we must be a born. We cannot be centered on ourselves, we must be centered upon the Christ. Because we revolve around Him. Can your planet say, oh yeah, there is a... I was just looking through Netflix. There was a movie, what it called, I can't remember what it's called now, but something about a story that Jupiter is going to crash upon the earth. And they have to put thruster upon you over the wind, move the whole planet out of orbit. Wow. I mean, that's fiction, you know. I was just reading the what you call the preview, whatever. I said, that's just fantastic. Huh? You can, oh, just the Christian said, I come to church, if I like it, I stay. If I don't like it, I go out. So it's just that planet Earth, you put trust in, move out of orbit. Where do you want to go? Out into outer space. What? You see, that's how people behave. And so very science fiction. All right. Okay, Romans 11:36 now. Well, look at this verse. And we perhaps understand. Romans 11:36. And watch it carefully. This will be your answer. Whether Christ will come to earth or not, and mankind had not sinned. And there is no sinner upon the earth. Romans 11:36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Now here's the answer for you. Here we have, look at this chart now. Look at this drawing here. First of all, we have Yahweh. Yahweh created Adam. Why? Well, Adam fell. Okay, so Christ came and restored by him back. So, of him, for of him, it says here, it's all about him. Who is him? Not Christ, but Yahweh. Because he counseled with himself. And he created Adam. Adam fell. It's okay. So he redeemed Adam. So Adam lifted up. Because Adam was supposed to walk on this plane. So we have through him. And then to him. Got it? Simple enough, right? But God created man. Everything is centered in one thing. It is of God himself. It is through God himself. It is back to him. All centered on the Logos. It's on the Logos. It's all about the Logos. Now, remember Jesus Christ, what the Bible says, God sent his only Son, right? Because after all, God brought forth all this thing. And the Logos was a spokesman, the revelation of him, to bring forth creation. Yes, mankind fall, the Logos must redeem back man back. The Word must come and bring man back to God. No man coming unto the Father by me. Right? Jesus did not say, no man cometh to me but by me. It's all about the Father's creation. But the Father has a central thing. It is of God, him, that through the Logos brought forth mankind. Huh? It will be true, the wisdom of God has his choice, that it must be centered around the Logos, the man must come back to him. Do you see this circle now? For of him, through him, and to him. Come back to him. Everything revolves around the Son. Because it is of God who desired. And through his own purpose, he desired to do it that way. that all men might come back to Him through that which He had designed. Alright. Now, if there is no fall, Christ will come. Christ will still come. But why must He come if there is no fall? So now we are a Christian. We are Christian now. We are. So what is the purpose now that we are saved? What from here on? What do we do? What is it all about? It's not about you, not about me. It's about Him, the one who saved us, the wisdom, the Christ. All right, Romans 8:20. Just the first part. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Well, you know, that's God precedent me. That is His desire. That is His will. I mean, what can we say to the potter? Why do you make it like this? Why must you make it this way? Well, after all, He's the potter. We are just the clay. I mean, He could shape the earth into a square if He like. He can make the earth flat if He want to. Because that is His choice. He's the potter. Is it not true? Yes, sir. You understand what I'm saying? But don't tell all. But again, I mean, He said that it is His choice to make it this way. Then why did He make me so short? God did not make you short. That's a lot of things people do not understand. I said this before, let me say it again. I asked my daughter one day, we were having a discussion and on a weekday meeting. I said, my question is, did God make you the way you are? Did God make you a Chinese? Did God make you an Indian? Did God make you a white man? Or did God make you a woman and God make you a man? Did God make you you as you? Did God make you to be a Filipino? That you should live in Leyte or Cagayan? Did God make an Indian to live in India, or Indian to be born in Mongolia because his ancestors went there? That's a good question. And people say, yeah. You see, my daughter said, yes, Dad. God make you my dad. I says, no. God did not make you my dad. Make me to be your dad. No. Now that God make you to be my daughter, you got it? Why are you still puzzled? Cannot be what? Think about it. Huh? I'm born in Singapore. Did God make me say, okay, I'm going to make a man called Richard Gannon and I'm going to put him in Singapore? Really? No. And he's going to be 6 foot tall and skinny and whatever. No. God did not do that. And this is one question many people do not say, they don't understand. See, did God make me to be me, to be here in Singapore? And then you must also say the cripple who's born crippled, God made me a cripple. Oh, God made us to be a semi street. I'm joined to my brother on the spine, and we only have one spine. You can do that. Just think, yeah. That's why sometimes the Bible says, get wisdom, with wisdom, get understanding. See? You got me a woman, you got me a man. Specifically. You see, now we know. I told my daughter, now that you are born, now that you know I'm your father. Right? Now you understand I'm your father. But you cannot say that God made me to be your father. No. It's just when you are born, then you realize I'm your father. You can be born, I told her, you can be born Indian, I mean, as an Indian in India, and find that you have a father who is Indian, and you are living in Kolkata or some other place. Do you understand what I'm saying? You all came from one seed. Mango, there's only one original mango, huh? But now you have fat mango, thin mango, round mango, where they all come from? They all come from different species. We know that, but how did it evolve? The sun. What? How did we get Chinese, Indian, African, Pygmies? Where did they come from? Did the God create them all different? No. A seed was sown, and seed moves. Whatever you land, it changes. Don't believe me? Study anthropology. And don't study anthropology by what the scientists say, that we all came from, what is the woman called? Lucy. Not this Lucy, but Lucy. In Africa. You know, when I say Lucy in Africa, supposed to be how many hundreds and thousands of years ago we came from Lucy. Yeah. Or you come from the ape. How the ape walk off and become Homo sapiens. Right. And how come men do not evolve anymore? We are what we are. What we are, what we eat. The food that you eat make you short or small. Or make you tall and big. You don't believe me? Look at Japan. It's a good example. Before the Second World War, the Japanese people are not tall and big. But today, they love beef because they will introduce beef. Yes. You're watching. In Africa, go there. Over, what do you eat? Cassava. Most of the time, mealy, cassava. Over time, the hair get kinky. If you eat a lot of pork, like the Filipino people love it, like chong and all that, baboy. Over time in the family, so you get a lot of these black moles on the face. Think about it. I studied anthropology, I know about it. I studied it, I know it. How human beings evolve. If my son were to go and live in India and marry there, not Indian woman, a Chinese woman, live there, eat there, eat the kind of food that they eat from that soil. In two or three generations, at least three generations, the children will look very much like Indian. Believe me. So God did not create you, and you are what you eat. And because God can see the future, He picked. He chose. Because the Bible says He chose, right? He has chosen you. You didn't choose Him. When He chose you, He speak to you always. In a period of time, when He will speak to you, you listen, you hear, you respond. Because you never get a second chance. Right? Huh. Alright. So, Christ needs to come that we might learn. Simply. But here he says, the creature will be subject to vanity. So God allowed the fall. There are many reasons why God allowed the fall. As I said, Adam, well, he knew right and wrong and everything, but he morally had not yet experienced anything. To really see what it really is. You don't know what is sin until it really touches it. Yeah, take for example, a hot plate is hot. But what do you mean by hot if you don't know what hot is? Okay? You put your hand over the hot stove. A hot plate, yeah, it feels warm. So it's just warm. So what then? You just feel the warmth, you don't feel anything yet. So, I wonder if I put my hand on it, what happened? Then you understand what on earth is heat and what on earth is pain when heat comes too hot. It's just a fire, right? So you feel the warmth. But what is beyond warm? Touch the fire and your hand gets burnt. Oh, that's what heat produces. It burns. Right? It's just like dry ice. You know the experience dry ice? You know dry ice, right? It gets smoky and all that, right? But try to pick it with the hand and see what happens. Pick it with a finger because it's very cold, very nice. Pick it with a finger and see what happens. You get stuck to it. And then you take it off, your skin's all gone. Yeah. So you see, Adam doesn't know beyond what it is. Just knowing what is right, what is wrong. Oh yeah, this is bad, this is good. We all know this is good, this is bad. We know that. Fornication You know, fornication is bad. But what is bad? What is bad when you say fornication is bad? But the man is not your wife, husband, the woman is not your wife. Yeah, so what is it? Until you commit fornication, you don't know what true fornication really is and how bad it really is. You just know it is bad. It's just as simple as that. Oh, durian, for example. What is durian? So many variety. Well, the time we don't know, when I was young selling durian, I don't know all the different names. There were no such thing as different names. It smells good or smells bad or things like that. That's all. Good to eat or not good to eat, that's it. But today we have Mao Song Wong, D24, D25, I don't know what, XOL, or whatever. But now, somebody say, hey, this is better than your Mao Song Wong. Well, to your Mao Song Wong is supreme already. But when somebody comes to me and says, this is better than that, well, you never taste it, you do not know. Until you taste it, then you can judge by what it is. And so, God make man, the creature, subject to vanity. Not willingly. It means God did not desire. Alright? But man have to be tested. But by reason of him, he have to make creature subject to the fall. And God knew man will fall. Because you are given a temptation, you know what I mean? God did not tempt you. The situation is there. God wants to see how you're going to do it. What present? Now, then, for example, you go down the road. Yeah, but especially in the night. Orchard nowadays, we got all kinds of things going on there. Like I told you, I walked in Brother James Nehru. In the afternoon, here came a Chinese national, came up to me and asked me what I want to do. Here. And I have to review her. He said, you know, I could call the police. And she turned around and went. And you know, if you are in a place where alone you are walking down, and here comes a pretty little young lady. Usually I'm using this because it's usually a man that is approached by a young lady. Huh? It's never a young man approach a woman. Correct? Isn't it true? And if she come up to you and then, oh, you're now tempted. You have to make a choice. Say yes or no. And I say, always be quick to say no. Because I have many times been done tempted like that when I was in America, when I was in Hawaii, even in Nigeria. You know, if we stop to think, look around. Nobody is around. Okay, say yes. But somebody is watching. And after you have done it, might you regret. You heard about what we call the one night stand? Young men committed the one night stand and got venereal diseases. Yeah, you made a choice. So God had to present this. He said here, for the creature was mixed subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of the hope. God has a better purpose and a plan. You see? So that men may know what it is, how bad sin could be. Right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Again, remember that. According to his own purpose and grace. It's all according to him. All according to him. After the counsel of his own will. Everything is in him. It's about him. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God considered those things that were not as though they were already completed. So, what do you want to do? You want to work yourself up to salvation to get a better place in heaven? Don't. All you have to do, walk in the light of his word. Simple. You cannot make yourself any better than than what you already have in Christ Jesus. Just be obedient, walk in His word, fulfill His will. Now Jesus, I was about my Father's business. You know, I'm doing the will of God. And so what we should be doing? Doing the will of God, not our own will. Saying, oh, I want to be like this, I want to do this for God so that I can be better. No. But it's not made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought forth life, immortality to life through the gospel. Okay, so according to His own purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the world began. So it's all about Him. The fall, you know, don't always think about this place. Don't always think about the gospel thing. As it, that's it. That's all I need. No. When we are lifted up back to this level, we are still going through Christ Jesus. So if Christ don't come, I mean, if the fall did not take place, this will not be, right? There is no need for a gospel. There is no sin, and yet Christ will come and bring people through Him. Or God will send Jesus Christ so that mankind will go through what is centered on the Logos. Because Jesus Christ said, I come from the Father. No man come unto the Father but by me. So He will come to set an example so that we will be conformed to His image. With or without the fall, He must come. But the thing is that God allowed the fall so that we could see. That's the reason why God said, what? I create good and evil. Yeah? Why did He create evil? Because how can you know what is good if you don't know what is evil? How do you know what is good water if you don't know what is bad water? If you don't know what is bad durian, how do you know what is good durian? The food that you eat, isn't it? Or how do you know what is a bad barber who barber your hair? I mean, how good a good barber is if you never experience a bad barber who barber your hair? So everything, there must be a comparison to see. So God allowed the fall. And only many other reasons, so that He could reveal Himself as the Savior. Because in Him, there's an attribute of being a healer. So how can you have healing even now there's no sickness? So God allows it. So, don't think of yourself as being saved. I'm saved, I'm so happy. And when we are lifted up back to Christ, now we have to walk according to the Word of God in Christ Jesus. Through Him, back to God. Galatians 1:15 and 16. But it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me. Now you got it? That I might preach Him among the heathen, in merely a confound not with flesh and blood. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me. Verse 5 and verse 15 and 16, right? Got it? Take those two phrases and see it. Connect it together. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me, Paul said. Now, God save you. Can you say what Paul said? God sent me so that it pleased Him to send me to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ, in me. Not your own self, I'm self, and you go and live your life just as rotten as you have been. Whether the fall take place or not, whether mankind actually time to sin or not, Christ will still come. Because God wants you want to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ, in you, because the whole heaven and earth was created by wisdom, by the Logos. Remember? The world was reconciled back to the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the purpose. Jeremiah. Well, you know the day of Jeremiah, chapter 1 anyway. You know Jeremiah was a prophet in the day of Josiah, the last of the good kings. And he said, you know, he said, God said, you know, God called him to preach, and he said, oh, no, no, I'm but a youth, I don't know how to speak. And God said, who formed your mouth? Who created you? Huh? He said, before you were born, I already ordained you. Huh? When you were being in the mother's womb, I already ordained you to be a prophet. When I put words in your mouth, don't say you are you and this and that. I form thee. See, God has a purpose. The same as Paul said, it pleased God that He chose me to reveal His Son in me. God saved you to reveal His Son in you. That's the purpose. Unto ultimate intention, the ultimate intention of God is to bring you through a journey that you look like Christ Jesus. That you be like Him. Because God wants a family all to follow the example of the firstborn. Not each one doing what they like. Well, you know, in Egypt, Israel was in Egypt. You know, see, the problem with Israel, they were in Egypt, they came out of Egypt. For what purpose? Now, God took them out of Egypt for what purpose? So that He might put them in a land of Canaan, as He promised them, and then make them a people for Himself. Well, they came out of Egypt, and they murmured this, they murmured that. Oh, what inconvenience, it's inconvenient. Moses, where is water? He bring us here to die. They spoke against God's prophet. Well, what did God bring us here to die anyway? Inconvenient. Is your journey as a Christian inconvenient? Inconvenient, right? Correct. Life, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm going to church. I cannot go to church. Cannot for at least a few months. I come when I like. So inconvenient. Cannot together study the Bible and pray. So inconvenient now. I have to give God 10%. Nobody asks you to. Remember this. I never asked you to. I know that you didn't ask to, Brother Gunn, but the Bible said we give them. So do you talk to God about it? You complain to God about it. You see, the people did not complain to God, but they complained to Moses. And Moses was representing God to tell them the truth. My heart's inconvenient, very inconvenient. I don't understand Egypt and have a little house to live in and not go through all this problem. You are a Christian, this is a journey. And it is not an easy road. Did Jesus have an easy life? Did He? Huh? When He was young, He learned the trade of being a carpenter, being obedient to Joseph, to Mary, the mother. And what according to the law, He kept them. But the last 3.5 years of His life was a terrible time. Was it easy for Him? People want to kill Him, want to stone Him. They spoke all kinds of matter on him, against Him. When He was arrested, He was judged. They hit Him. They spat upon Him. They slap Him. They whip Him, tore His back apart, hang Him on a cross. What did He deserve? Did He deserve that? You know, I wonder if Jesus can tell the Father, it's inconvenient for me to die for them. Because I know that after I die for them, they also complain. Isn't it? See, God has a purpose. It's the ultimate intention of God. Then in the end of it, when we come back to Him, and brother and sister, I'm telling you, the day that when you see the future of the kingdom that's coming, when you step and transform yourself into that realm, I tell you, you say, phew, I make it. Huh? You say, wow, I just barely make it. I'm so glad. You'll be sure. For that 1 second, it'll be like eternity to you, just to grasp the whole thing. The magnificent work of God in your life. Here we grumble. Romans 8:30. Quickly, we're going to close in this. Just one verse. That's why, because of Israel grumbling, they never enter into the rest of God. Right? Remember? Huh? Yeah. How many of us here? Come on, let me ask you. Do you have the rest of God in you? Have you rested in God? The Sabbath day was a rest for Israel. And God wanted to give them the real rest, but they didn't get it. Because even though they believed it, they never received it. Then how many people had heard that message? So, yeah, we have the message. But they never really received the message. And they died. Just like Israel. They came out of Egypt to die in the wilderness because they could not receive the promise. They find hard to believe in it. The seal of revelation of it. The more that we complain, the more that we have a problem. We'll never see it. And so God said, because of what you have done, you're complaining, you're not going to the promised land. All you 20 and above, you're going to die out there in the wilderness. And they walked there for 40 years, and they died. Every one of them, 40 years and above, except for Caleb and Joshua, because they believed. So just imagine 2 hours, how many? There's above 20 and above. There's estimated 3 million people that came out. A vision. Mixed multitude, a little bit here and there. Yeah, think about it. Two. Only two. Just 20 and above. Let's say there are 3 million. Let's say 2 million are 20 and above. Two. Oh, 2 million. Scary, yeah? That's what Bob Ram said. I wonder. He said, I wonder how many people make the rapture and be 1% or 1%. 1% or 1%. Kind of small somehow. 1% or 1% is what? 1% is 1 out of 100. 1% or 1% is 1 out of 10,000. Maybe the problem is being a little bit more than a 2 out of 2 million. Think about it. Sad. Romans 8, 3. Brother Henry, would you read? Romans 8:30. Romans 8, verse 30.
Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
Right. So what the purpose of us being saved? He predestined, he saved you, he justified you, he will glorify you. So the whole thing is a journey. And it is considered done. So with or without the fall, Christ must come, and we need to be conformed to His image. All running about this Logos, just going round back to Him, of Him, through Him, and to Him. Do you see that? Well, you can look back in the backward glance and see what Christ has done for us. Saving you, not just to save you. Saving you, that you might go through Him to be conformed to His image. That's the ultimate intention of God. In your life, in my life. Not just being saved, but to be like Him. To be like Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. all that you have shown us, Father. Your intention of having a people for yourself. Oh, that we might all be conformed to that wisdom of yours in the image of Christ Jesus our Lord, your only begotten Son. Father, we thank you. Help us then, Lord, to walk with you. Walk you according to your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.